So our first reading on page 75 is Exodus chapter 17, and we're reading the first seven verses. For those of you, as soon as you look at this, you think, ah, it's about Moses and the Israelites. They've left Egypt, and they're on the way to the promised land. Thankfully, they don't know they've got about another 38 years to go before they get there. But that's where we find ourselves. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" And our other reading is from 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, and starting at verse 5. And here Peter is writing and encouraging Christians, and also reminding them of their great calling in Jesus. So he says in verse 5, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is short-sighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen."
I thought it might be good tonight if we read verse about, if you'd like to do that. "Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said, 'So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest.' And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, 'And on the seventh day God rested from all his work.' And again in the passage above he says, 'They shall never enter my rest.' It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly have had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua has given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight, and everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account.
As we read that chapter, or that those verses, not the easiest to understand, but an important message for us all. We live in a restless world, a world where many people just want peace and they just want rest. And the Bible teaches that only true peace and only true rest are found in God alone. And in these verses which we've just read, we are reminded that God has promised rest for his people. This rest of God is both now and in the future. The rest we can enjoy now is when we belong to Jesus. In other words, it is salvation. Having your sins forgiven. Belonging to God. A follower of Jesus and believing his words. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, Jesus said this. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." That's a lovely verse, I think, that you will find rest for your souls. What an invitation that is from Jesus, that Jesus, the Son of God, who calls sinful men and women to come and find rest in him. You will find rest for your soul. The future rest that is promised is God's eternal rest. That is when we get to heaven. We cannot, of course, enter into God's eternal rest until we become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that is only achieved by believing Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and also acknowledging that you need to be saved and putting your trust completely in Jesus for salvation. I remember once in our last church and speaking to a lady after the service, and we were talking about salvation, and she said, "Well, I don't need to be saved because I'm not a sinner." Many people may not feel as though they're sinners, but the Bible tells us and God tells us that we are sinners. Verses 1 and 2 of this passage warns us not to miss out on this salvation. The writer here says that it is still available, this salvation. It's still available to all. It's still available to you if you're not a Christian. And the message really is, don't fall short of it. Don't let it pass by. It's too important. It's too important to miss out on God's salvation. This passage of scripture also refers to the Israelites of Moses' day. And because of their disobedience and their refusal to trust God, they were not allowed to enter the promised land. Now, the promised land to the Israelites was a type of earthly rest for the Israelites. But many, because they would not trust God to get them there, they were disbelievers. They were not able to enter the promised land. And so we get this example here of those of the Old Testament who refused to trust God, and also today of people who refuse to trust God and therefore miss out on the salvation which he offers. So the writer of the Hebrews says salvation is still available, but to grasp it, a response of faith is required. A response of faith is required for us to take hold of salvation. After God had created the world, you know, and I know, that back in Genesis 1 and 2, that God rested on the seventh day. And he laid down a law for all mankind to have a day of rest. And also, he went further than that. He created an eternal day of rest for all mankind. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, we read this: God, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Some people might be very surprised to hear that. That God says that he wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So why do we have a situation where so many people have not come to a knowledge of the truth? Well, Paul gives us an answer in Romans 1. And he says that men and women found other gods to worship. Paul says that they refused to believe, and that they worshipped man-made things, and that they turned to those things which were wrong in God's sight. They refused to believe. And so it is today that so many people refuse to believe, refuse to accept that Jesus has died on the cross for them, and that there is a way of salvation, that there is a way to God, that there is a way to peace and rest with God, particularly in the world in which we live today. The book of Hebrews is written to Jewish Christians who are in danger of giving up on their trust in Jesus. They've had a difficult time. They've been persecuted. They've been put under pressure. And many of them are feeling that, and they're thinking about going back to Judaism. But verse 11 in this chapter encourages them to make every effort to enter into God's eternal rest. You and I both know that the Christian life is not easy. It's a challenge. You might say, that's an understatement, Sid. It is a challenge, the Christian life. Is it worth the challenge? Of course it is. Are we on our own? No, of course we're not. Do we have God and the Holy Spirit with us? Of course we do. And the writer here encourages these Jewish Christians to keep on going. Keep going and keep trusting, and you will never fall. That's what Peter writes. We read it in that Peter passage. He says, make every effort to keep going and to keep trusting, and you will never fall. The Christian life is not a passive life. I like that song, you know, get on the gospel train. But, you know, the gospel, the message really is get on the gospel train. Just sit back and you're okay. It's not like that. It's not passive. It's an active walk of faith. It is a continual pursuit of God. A continual pursuit of God. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 12 and 13, Jesus writes this. He says, because of increased wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. He's talking about the latter days. He says, because of the increase in wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. He who stands firm to the end will be saved. Jesus also says in Mark chapter 13, verse 13, he says, all men will hate you, Christians that is, because of me. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. You notice that stands firm to the end in both of those scriptures. Jesus expects us to stand firm to the end. We can do it with his help. There are times when we feel very weak. There are times when we feel vulnerable. There are times when we feel as though perhaps it's too much for us. I can remember times when I was much younger and I found the Christian life a struggle. And there were many times when I thought, this is too hard. It's easier if I give up. Give up for what? Go back to what? Do you remember when Jesus was talking to his disciples, and Jesus said to a group of disciples, are you going to leave me now? And one of his disciples said to him, Lord, who do we go to? There is nobody to go to. Once we have tasted the blessings and the forgiveness of salvation, there is no other place to go to. But there are times when we find it really difficult. And we do need God's help. So Jesus does expect us to stand firm. And also he knows what we're like. And he knows that we need him. We can do it with his help. God wants us to be a positive witness to his truth. His truth. God wants us to be a positive witness, not a negative one. If you're aware that your love for God has grown cold or growing cold, or you feel though your faith is getting weaker, or apathy or doubts have crept into your life, or the cares of this world, and Jesus talked about the cares of this world, didn't he? The cares of this world are just pressing in on you. Remember, God still loves you and he wants to help. And so, what do we need to do in those kind of situations? We need to get some help. We need to ask God to help us. And he will, of course. But we also maybe need somebody to help us and to advise us and to pray with us and to encourage us. Because God still loves us. And these things can be resolved. There is a way forward. There is always a way forward with God. That's one of the great things about being a Christian. There is always hope. We're not on our own. And verses 12 and 13 of this passage remind us that God judges the thoughts and attitudes that we have. And nothing is hidden from him. He judges our thoughts and our attitudes through his word. And nothing is hidden from him. Actually, the great thing is that when we come to God in prayer, we've nothing to hide, have we? We can come before him just as we are. And he knows all about us. And so if we find that we are struggling a bit, maybe struggling a lot, God is just waiting for us to come to him and to get right with him, but also to move forward with him as well, that we can then get back onto the path which Jesus calls us to make every effort to be his disciple. But in saying all of that, he knows, the Bible tells us, he knows what we are made of. He knows how much we can take and how strong we are. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, he said, "Anyone who hears my words and obeys them, they are wise." That's the story of the wise man who built his house upon the rock. The wise man, of course, who built his house upon the rock, was the man who listened to the words of Jesus and put them into practice. We certainly don't want to be building on the sand, do we? Nobody's building on the sand. So, Christian, as we come to the end of this passage of Scripture, make sure that you enter into God's eternal rest. It's waiting there for us. God has prepared it for us. Jesus said, if you remember, that he was going to prepare a place for us. So, let us make sure and be encouraged by this scripture here to enter into God's eternal rest.